Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm an SWB Online, Fedcom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just Matter How joins me with Talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone star 605-562-044. Let's follow directions. Call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talk's website at www.thetalkshow.com. Search for call ID 17702. Or, if you want the best online experience, you want to go to twitch.tv, that's switch.tv/sfuoncall. We'll find us and be able to join the chat room and watch my lovely face as I stream live. If you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on the Twitters, I have, of course, my podcasting account, which is sfuoncall. You have my personal account, which is Paul Franz, P-A-U-L-F-R-A-N-Z. And of course, my business account, which is Franz Games, FRANZGMES. And of course, also, I am on Blue Sky. My account there is franzgames.com. That's my both my personal and my business account. And also, my podcast account is sfuoncall.bsky.social. And so, if you want to, you can join me there and follow me. And that'd be a great way of getting together. When it comes to Twitter, I don't go on there very much. Usually, the only time I do is on Franz Games, and that's to announce the latest what's happening in Franz Games territory. When it comes to this lovely Talkcast, gets into podcasts available on iTunes or various other feeds around the net. Quick news from A to B this week. Actually, there's not much going on this week. We're going to bring Steve Petrick, into the office, but they screwed up at the rest home that they got him at, and they gave him onions, and he was terribly sick, because unfortunately, Steve Petrick is very allergic to onions, which is a weird thing to be allergic to, but, it is what it is. Moving on to the found on the online store this week, we have the F&E Compendium number 1 and 2, which is going for $25. This is a 260-page compendium, contains every F&E article. Indeed, the entire F&E sections from catalog number 20 through 40, they have not been updated or edited from the original publication and are provided for reference and player convenience. Moving onward and forward to when it comes to the SWB Online tournaments, Sapphire Star 19 tournament, we're still looking for more signups there. When it comes to the 500 BPV tournament, Frank LeMay and me, actually, we got a turn in. Boy. I do not like to fly fleets with seeking weapons. It sucks. I just say it right there. End of story. We'll move onward and forward from there. When it comes to the libraries, not much to tell you. Not much going on there. Neither one actually got any updates, neither the SFB or FedCom. I know I actually have one, but there is a couple updates I need to do for the SFB one, and I apologize for the delay in getting to that. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, the one of all Paul Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we've got Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
Did you hear that wonderful voice? Doesn't that sound so good?
So much better than just on the phone, huh?
Yep. And of course, oops, wait a minute, this is almost did it again. Sorry. My streaming is saying, oh, hey. Nope, it didn't start streaming, huh? That's weird. Now it started streaming. That was weird. One of it broke. Oh, jeez. Pain in the butt. Okay, now am I streaming? It's not streaming. Huh. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. and connect to the server. Okay, I'm just don't mind me here for a moment.
So for the fine people on YouTube, is this thing recording right now still?
Yes, for YouTube, it's still recording. The problem is currently it's not streaming on Twitch. I don't know why it is not at the moment. What I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to punt.
Let me see real quick. Let me pull up Twitch and see if you are.
No, I'm not. Trust me. OBS says I'm not streaming, and when I try to stream, it's failing. Why it's failing at the moment, I do not know. I might have to renew the key or something like that, because for all I know, they revoked all the Twitch.tv keys. But I will look at that at a later moment in time. I will be uploading this to YouTube anyway. You can see it there. People on Twitch, I apologize if there's anyone waiting for me to start streaming on Twitch. I have to get that working, because as I announced last week, we are moving away from streaming live on TalkShoe. I'm hoping this is a desperate hope, and I do mean desperate, that if I do it differently, if I don't record it live and I just upload my podcasts to TalkShoe, that will become automatically added to the feed, and blah 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 blah, and we can the feed can be still continued to be used directly from TalkShoe. I'm hoping that will work. Obviously, it doesn't work. The one thing that will definitely happen then, if that doesn't work, because I need this thing to be in a timely manner, I'll do something which I really dread. I hate to do this, but I might have to do it anyway, which is that I have to switch it so that the podcast feed is going directly to my server, my sfbonecall.com server. That's where you'll get it, and that's where the feed will be, and then that's where you'll get the latest thing. And as I know what happens with this, when you ever change the feeds on the back end, at least for iTunes, and I'm willing to bet for other podcast catchers, where you are in the episodes, gone. It resets because it's a new location. And therefore, things you have never seen it before. At least for iTunes, that's the case. I'm not so sure if it happens with Overcast or any other podcasting platforms. Obviously, I'd say Google's. I'm not sure how. The thing is, the Google Stream Store on the Google Play Store doesn't have podcasts anymore. You got to do it on YouTube. It's like, why am I doing it on YouTube? Whatever. I'm not going there. I might look back to see if I can create a separate podcast feed for my sfuoncall.com account. But sfuoncall@gmail.com account, actually. But we'll have to wait and see. But until that time, just a reminder that at the beginning of next month, that is, we have two more podcasts. July 31st, the last podcast I will be streaming live from TalkShoe. I will be changing as of next week, obviously, my intro, so I can tell you guys how to get the podcast, how to get to it. The top part, obviously, is going to be switching to Discord. If you want to actually talk, which means you have to go to the invite, which I have to make sure that's up to date on my sfuoncall.com web server. And I will see, I'll most probably disappoint people to that and say, okay, click on the invite link on the server so that you can join us there. So obviously that means you have to have a Discord account, which I'm sure a lot of people who are playing games these days have a Discord account, because Discord, a lot of these Discord servers are for gaming. Of some form or another. So, anyhow, moving onward and forward, I had the wonderful delight of Neon And I'm not sure if I think he's actually in Discord at the moment. Yeah, Neon is on Discord. He's one of the game channels. Actually, so is Frank. And I'm not going to go to Frank right now. That would be a bad thing. That's one thing that will happen later on this evening is that I'm going to review really quick, and I do mean really quick, is a single game. I mean, sorry, not a single game, a single turn for our game. Because, as I said in the news portion, for those of you who are kept listening to this not live, which is, oh, I'd say 90% of you, possibly even higher than that, that when it comes to the game, when it comes to fleet games, I don't like seeking weapons. It slows down the game so much. I spent, let me think, close to 3 hours to play one turn. And most of that
Wow.
was dealing with the minor part of drones and EW. Like some of what was drones, some of it was changing. I did one minor speed change. He did a lot of he launched a drogue and he, whatever. I'll you'll wait to see it a little bit later. But he launched drones. He transferred control of the drones. He had announced that transfer of control of the different drones to the different ships and so forth. So overall, and then so overall, it was just very slow going because of all of that. So I got a 3 hour recording, which I'm 4Xing it, and I'll probably even do some skipping. Hopefully I can skip because I had one which I recorded, got part of it done, and then I got part of it, and then all the rest was blank. Not sure what happened. But anyhow, talk about something that actually Neon had we talked about actually after the podcast ended last week, which was he did something which was quite cool. And I'm just going to do this because unfortunately I'm not streaming on Twitch at the moment, as anyone who's on Twitch knows, and anyone who's been listening to it understands that there's a glitch. I'll probably have to look at that later, possibly this weekend, hopefully this weekend. I'm hoping I have some time because this weekend looks like it's gonna be turning out like last weekend when I don't seem to have much time for anything I want to do. I mean that I do outside of whatever, because I'm helping Doug this weekend, and
Hey.
got a meeting on Saturday afternoon. Of course, I have to drive my son back to where he lives. I have to also cook dinner. I'm the cook in my family, so that's another couple out 2 to 3 hours which are gone from any other thing I can do. And then of course I have Warlord stuff to do, which actually is simple this week because it's only one game. And I have to announce the beginning of the next Die Hard 59 game, which will be 2 weeks, 2 week turns from the start, because of currently I want it to have it so that I'm only having two games per weekend, because I can do two games per weekend. I can possibly do three. Three is pushing them. Four is like, wow, I can be totally overwhelmed. And of course, the biggest issue there is just the number of people. Is the user base is kind of slow, a little bit small, basically compared to SFB Online. SFB Online has like three, four times the size, possibly larger, of the Starfleet Warlord group, which I can understand. But anyhow, getting back to it, let me switch this. Sorry, I got distracted there for a moment. I have two kittens running on. I'm not sure if you saw the one over here, down there, disappeared. They're chasing each other, and the big zinni that usually you
Aww.
see is right behind me at my other chair. So, Though he might, if I know, he might show up over here, back on the printer. Actually, the funny part about that, what happened was this week I was printing out some stuff. Poor Zooks. He was standing on top, and all of a sudden the printer starts shaking as he's standing on top of it. I was like, sorry, Zooks, I need to print stuff out. He's just watching it as it's printing out, But anyhow, moving onward and forward, I'm gonna just do this and I'm just gonna hide it. This is what we discussed, which is cool. Neon Matt Potter did a he created a script which will process the log file from a game room. And then he has it so that here it is right here. But this is the PHP file. He knows PHP and uses PHP as a scripting language. I have no problem with that. Just please, for all that's good and holy, do not run it on your web server. It seems to be one of those things that has so many vulnerabilities built into it that says, don't use it. That's why WordPress is a built on PHP. Woo, scary. I'm sorry, completely scary. Now he's created multiple models for Blender, as it, and this is kind of shown right here. For those on the video can see it, which is basically on the video you'll see a listing of all, not all, but a good portion of the tournament ships. Obviously, if we're gonna do this for fleets. He's got the number of models have to be increased greatly, and I know models take a long time to do. Then we have different expendables here. He's got actually the Andromeda Mine. He's got webs. I've not seen the webs yet. That will be interesting to see if he ever creates what that looks like. Shuttles, drones. I saw the drones. Actually, the drones look kind of cool. ESG looks kind of. Actually, get you can. They have he lists here Orion ESG. It's like Orion. Oh yeah, you actually can put an ESG on Orion. I've never seen anyone do it. There you can. And what this script here does is it takes the log file. For those of you who, I have to check with Matt, but if anyone who wants are interested in this, obviously it's right up here for those on the video. It's the URL. But if he wants me to share it, I'll be happy to share it, possibly put it in on the website so you can look at it. And this basically goes through this and it creates a Blender script for sequencing, and it'll sequence the movement over different impulses. It looks really kind of cool. Obviously he's doing rotations here, which is uh-oh, I think I heard somebody. Nope, wasn't me. Yay! Probably somebody else. That's good to see. Oh, wait a minute. Let me just. Don't mind me. I am just checking this.
It's just us.
Nope, it's Gary. Hey,
Oh,
Gary.
okay.
Oh. Hey,
In
Gary.
on Discord, it's just us.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's fine. I heard a bleep, and then what is that one? I'd like to check Discord, no Discord, and I see Gary will talk to you. Hi, Gary.
Hello, everybody.
How you doing?
Not too bad. I am starting to
How's the
talk a
work
bit
on
late,
the?
but I hope there's still enough time to have a few words.
Sure. Yeah.
So, what topic were you talking about just now?
I'm talking about Matthew Potter created a PHP script which will take the SAP logs from an SAP Online game, particularly a tournament game, and convert that into a Blender. You create a Blender script, and that Blender script it then can be run and create an automated game. Basically, show 3D models of ships moving around the board with, you know, with the expendable units, you know, and when it's firing, it you'll see it firing and so forth. Quite cool.
It's kind of cool to look at. Yeah, it was kind of cool to look at. It's a, basically what he's doing is he's taking your log from the game and turning it into a Blender animation that you can watch, stop, back up, move forward, etc. And it looks like a very nice starting point. I think he did a good job on it. And
yeah, he did a good job on it. Yeah,
I have a few suggestions for like for future use.
Mm-hmm.
One thing he could do that might help you out in a short term that could be quick and easy would be if he made counters. Basically, you can do like a 3D counter. So just basically it would fit on the hex like a regular counter, and you know, it could have like the ship imprint on it and all that stuff, but he could have multiples of those because I know it can take some time to do the sculpting in Blender to do individual ship animations.
Right. Have the 3D look. I thought either to create basically a block in Blender and then imprint an image on the top of that block.
Yeah, it would be like something. He could make like counter sheets like that where you could basically pick your counter and put your counter down for it. For like for a straight down view that would match what you have when you're running your client.
Yep.
Like he could match it to that. So you could switch back and forth between the two for when you do like fleet battles and stuff like that. Because the only thing I see that might be kind of really difficult would be representing a fleet in a single hex bunch of models like that.
Although
in Blender you can scale everything, so you can take the actual model and he can make it any size he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're dealing with say a fleet battle, you could make, you know, you could take the models and decide on a particular percentage of size so that you can have like four or five of them all in one hex.
Yeah. And,
or you could supersize the hexes.
Right. Oh yeah. Agreed. And there is one other possibility, which it looks goofy, but it is a possibility, which is in theory, you can stack the ships in the hex. They're just like this.
Well, yeah, but if you're doing that with the models, that would just like be a Franken model look.
Right. I know. It looks like a big tree of models. You know, this, I know. That's why I said it was a goofy idea on that. But
well, another possibility that you could do when you have a multi-hex, multiple ships in there is if you don't want to scale them down, is you could theoretically have them set aside with a pointer back to the hex that they're in.
Right. Agreed. So. Now, obviously, even with the tournament cruisers, you have the possible problem with zero range interactions.
Mm-hmm.
It's less of a thing that happens, but it does happen in tournament games where people do go range zero.
You do the overrun.
Yeah, the overrun. Obviously, that's something most people try to avoid. Because usually they die. And I did that and I died because I was an idiot. Don't get me started on that Origins game that I played, and I was a freaking moron. Freaking moron.
So continuing.
Okay. Anyway, guys, those of you listening on the podcast, please do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube. Go to youtube.com/@SFU on call and you will find the podcast feed. Sorry, let's find the YouTube videos. Look for this one so at the very least you can see what it looks like, what Matt Potter created. Because of I can try to explain it to you what it looks like, but the best way of actually knowing what it looks like is to actually look at it. Obviously, those of you who are blind or very low vision, you might not be able to enjoy nearly as much. But okay, right now I'm playing the video. It's like a 3-minute video, and what it is showing is a Winaux box and a Lirin fighting it out. Right now, I'm assuming that the movie, not the moving of the ships, but the viewpoint. That's not part of the script. That's probably something that was added by Matt, tweaking the playback of the script. Because, but for those who see it, they the Lirin just raised his ESG. It showed the shield go expanding and showing itself. And when he fires, you can see that the ship flashes these orange. These little, let's see if I can, right there. I mean, let's show it back a little bit farther. Right there. It's flashes, and then you have a on the ship that's firing at, in this case, the Lirin is firing on the aux box. You see this, basically the shield kind of light up, quote unquote. It's a nice little, it's a little arc when it comes to show where what shield it's hitting. It also has a number, which I'm assuming that number is the amount of damage that was done to the ship. It's, it ends up in this kind of balloon. I think that's the best way to describe it. It's a balloon.
Yeah, it was a text balloon, and
Text
he
balloon.
actually has that so that you see whatever's being said by the players as well. Whatever pops up as text in your feed will show up as text in that animation. It's really nice.
And then
One suggestion for him for future reference for what you need in like using it to demonstrate a game that you've played, is he might want to look at possibly including a hex outline animation. So like if you're firing from hex to hex, it shows like maybe a straight line from the hex to show it where the line of sight is going through and how much your shield was on it as like a health bar kind of thing on that shield. And possibly like for like where you have the ESG effect. If I remember from seeing it, it looked like he did it as a 3D effect. But if you have it also, if you can make it so that you also have like an outline on the hexes of the map, that might be very handy for you as well to show exactly how large the ESG was, because it's kind of hard to tell in the animation side of it.
And
And then the other one thing that I was thinking that he might add to it would be if he does a standard map, maybe putting the map numbers on the top part of the hexes.
Agreed, agreed. That was one thing I was thinking of myself. And yeah, agreed.
I mean, there's tons of things that could be done to make it, spiffier and neater and everything else, and like get it to like this massive, like, but massive thing that would be awesome for your scripting from your client into an animation. And it's really kind of because, and here's an important thing for you, Paul, that I really want to get across. It's Blender can be used as the game engine. So just for future reference, when he's setting this whole thing up for you, like I'm not sure Blender itself is good for using as a game engine type of thing, but when you look at other game engines, they can run with like Blender files, I believe. So
That
I could
wouldn't
be wrong
surprise me.
about that,
That could that's possible. I
but
can see
like,
that the Blender files being a can be an asset for that engine.
because Blender's also used as an animation tool. So you're like one step away from gameplay almost. And I'm I would have to double check on it because I haven't gotten to use Blender in ages. I really need to basically build a modern freaking machine to go back to using Blender again with the current version that they have. Because the current version won't load on my ancient dinosaur boxes. True. But it's something I'm looking forward to doing at some point when all this other stuff settles down.
Right.
But, yeah. But then again, that's kind of the story of my life. So there you go.
True. Moving forward,
we're gonna come. But I was really excited when I saw this.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm the point.
Actually, sorry, just to jump in there because I don't know if you brought this up already, but has he actually sent this to ADB? Because I'm pretty sure that they're going to be somewhat concerned, both in licensing terms, because they wouldn't want people like using this to try to put post 1979 franchise stuff that's off the boards into the images that are being shown, or maybe like something like a way like a weapon effect is being shown is not in keeping with how ADB needs it to be, or B, in terms of making sure that the look that they want is in keeping, like for example, like they have the 3D files that they use for Shapeways that they'd use for like in theory, like if you look at the cover of Module T, maybe they'd want that to be the style that people see when they're seeing a playback of a game and so forth. So if that's even possible, whatever. And so whether the Shapeways-esque miniatures can be used for that, but if there's any legal issues, because they're the ones who have to answer the Paramount if there's any problems along the way, just to make sure that everything is above board. Because so I would strongly recommend, if it hasn't already been addressed to ADB, that it is soon, because any way to move this forward and so forth, they're going to have to be 100% on top of it to make sure that it fits what they can and can't do as a game company. I want they're authorized to let you show people who are getting into the client in terms of a visual aid, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Number one, I'm not doing this, so therefore I'm not violating any licenses. Number two, Matt's doing this and for free. Two, he is not actually he's not made available the models themselves or any of the effects. He's made public the script that will actually transform it into a Blender script. But it's kind of pointless without those assets. The assets for the model, the assets, for the effects. I'm not sure.
But if you release it into the wild for people to use, then they'll need those assets to actually do the thing.
That's right.
So
the if we were to move forward with this, to make it as a product or make it part of SCP Online that people could possibly, submit like a log file to my server and say, hey, can you create a video of the game? And it, while it comes to the ship and the ship's movement, firing and the asset, them moving around, it can show that obviously this doesn't have anything to do with the SSDs or any of the description of the ships themselves, how much damage those ships have taken, things like that. It shows you how much damage they have taken, how much damage is done by a certain weapon's fire, but it won't show you what the result of that weapon's fire is. So again, there's no licensing issues when it comes to that kind of stuff. And third, currently this is done by Matt Potter. Is it creates a Blender? The video itself was created by Matthew Potter. He is not trying to sell it. So it's purely a fan-based product.
It's non-commercial.
So it's non-commercial.
Yeah.
So I don't think there should be any licensing issues with that because it's non-commercial. It's like, so let Star Trek fans currently reuse the IP for creating fan-based stories, fan fiction, that kind of thing. Paramount's not going after them for creating fan fiction or creating their own designs for Star Trek, for Starship ships. They're not going after them for that. They're not, because they're not trying to make money off it, not trying to sell it in any way, shape, or form. So I don't think licensing will be a big issue overall. Now, obviously,
you see, the thing is that I'm trying not to be, you know, ADB have to be, you know, they've often said that they have to be like Caesar's wife in terms of how diligent they have, even when it comes to like a PDF that they give away for free, whether it's like on directly on the ADB website or if it's through Warehouse 23, like if it's a product that's like a playtest SSD, or if it's a introduction to the Starfleet universe, whatever, even if they're not charging money for it, still have to abide by the various rules and so forth that they have in place. And so,
what he's saying is that the
Matthew Potter, he's going to have to, if he hasn't already, he really has to send this to Steve Cole and to the Gene and folks at ADB, because they're going to want to be 100% on top of this, even as a point of courtesy. Even if it's something that they say, I'm 100% fine with this, it's okay. But as a point of amateur courtesy, if not professional courtesy, they're going to want to see this happen. Because they're going to want to make sure that there's no concern. Because they don't detail, you know, they're the ones that have the most at stake when it comes to this sort of thing. And so, I mean, if they say that all the dots, you know, all the I's can be dotted and all the T's can be crossed, and then, you know, a workable way forward, even one that maybe they can help with. Like, as I say, they've got access to these various Shapeways miniatures that can basically give it an officialness and so forth. Right. As long as there's a way that no one can take that file and try to print 3D models from it. Right. But the point I'm trying to say, though, is that they have to be on board with this.
But here's the problem. As soon as ADB gets involved, it becomes a commercial entity, a commercial product, or related to a commercial product. In which case, it's no longer fan-based. Then we have problems with licensing. Because if ADB is supporting it in any way, shape, or form, there's a possibility that Paramount then they can come down. But as long as ADB is not involved, it's fan-based.
Yeah, and I think the key point here is that the gentleman who is designing this for a Blender script basically is not designing it to interface directly with the client. And he's not a signature to anything. It's purely a passion project on his part.
Right.
That he's not profiting off of. And ADB's not making a buck off of it. They're not promoting it. This is just something that, you know, it's nice for Paul to use right now to show a game potentially in the future. And it's could be a tool that other people use in conjunction with the client, but it would be something that's like an add-on and not necessarily a directly licensed product, so to speak.
Yeah, it's like shadow copies, but private tools which are shared among friends.
Yeah, like an add-on.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, like if it was a Firefox add-on, nobody would really care as long as you're not selling the add-on. Like if I wrote an add-on for Firefox that did XYZ and I'm not selling it, I just have it up on my website for a free download, use this for XYZ, you know, as long as it's nothing that's particularly breaking the law, nobody will care. On the other hand, as soon as I'm trying to make a buck off it, I might run into licensing issues with somebody else.
Right.
It could just be something that they can look at ADB and say, well, you know what? Here's why it doesn't affect us, and we don't care. Or they could say, here's how it does affect us, and we do care. That I could see the asking them about it on a, courtesy basis and all that stuff. But on the other hand, there's also they'll be aware of it, I'm sure, at some point. And the question comes down to, you know, is it violating a license? Well, no, not if the guy who's making it as his own passion project isn't bundling it as part of a package that he's selling or that ADB is selling. Because, I mean, this man is not part of the, as far as I know, his signature's not on any documents between between ADB and Paramount. And he could probably tell them all to pound sand if they gave him any crap about it.
Yeah.
But no, I do understand some of the concerns, and the biggest concern would be basically, if it gets bundled into this product and into Paul's product, and Paul's product is licensed, then you have a chain that connects it to ADB potentially, and then you might have a problem. So yeah, it's just something, yeah, you could ask him about it, but I
And
think
again,
at the
Paul,
end
I'm
of the
not trying
day
to
it
say
would
that
be
ADB are going to
an
say
issue.
no. I don't work for the company. I'm not in the position to say that. I'm just saying that if they do find out, if they don't already know about this, then which of these two options is going to be better? A, either yourself or Matthew Potter reaches out to them ahead of time and says, "By the way, here's the script. Here's what it does. Here's how people would
Oh, the
use it.
script
Would it
is.
go on YouTube? If so, would those YouTube videos be subject to the monetization algorithm, that sort of thing? And A, is it okay?" And as I say, even if it's like an amateur courtesy, whatever. And if they turn around and say, "You know, this is fine. This is no issue. It doesn't need any kind of signature or anything, whatever," then great. But if they turn around and say, "Well, actually, it needs X, Y, Z," and then if X, Y, Z can be followed without anyone like crying too that much about it, then great. But if this thing goes ahead and they find out after it goes ahead, and if it turns out that it is something that they have a problem with, then that leads to a much more difficult conversation. And I really don't think that anyone who's so passionately engaged with the SIVU to the point where they're creating this kind of tool in the first place would want to cause ADB that kind of stress, or to cause, to basically like you put them in that kind of situation. Because we want the company to succeed. We want you, we want the client to succeed. And if this thing is okay, then we want it to do well too. And so I really think that, I'm not going to stress it too much, because I was still hoping to talk about the Neutron ship list that I posted a week or two ago. But I just think that's, if this thing is to go ahead, it would really be wise, if it hasn't already been, to put it in Gene and Steve's in tray and let them have the say in terms of, to have a say in terms of, what, if any, kind of role it can have for them going forward.
Understood. Okay. Well, moving onward and forward, we'll switch over to my game before we run out of time for the evening. So, to say the very least, the game went we this past week, and we had the opportunity, actually yesterday, to play for a little bit. It took us around 2.5, 3 hours to finish a single turn. Most of that had to do with managing the drones, basically, both from my aspect, which was identifying them and shooting them down, or trying to shoot them down. Or the other one, which is, of course, him launching them, managing the controls of them, make sure that he had enough control channels available so that he could control all the drones that are currently on the board. Because of he had more launching ability than he had control ability. So, these things happen.
Have 3,000 drones out there. How many can you control? Seven.
Yeah,
Oh, whoops. Yeah, got it.
This was me. There's one thing that let me just mention this real quick. For those of you watching the video, you'll see that I'm adjusting my ECCM to be negative, which is what Justin recommended I do when it comes to using EW, because I have 4 points of ECM on myself when I'm having rack maneuvering enabled, which is what the two destroyers both are using at this moment in time. I didn't cancel it at the end of last turn, so I'm automatically have to continue on to this turn. And with that, you know, unfortunately, the client doesn't know a way to have it so it automatically has the -4. I could possibly do it with the loaned ECM, but it's not really loaned. It's my own ECM, so I have to fix it at the beginning of the turn. So we start this turn number 3 with the feds currently facing direction E at the bottom of the map and going speed 12. Me, I'm up towards the top of the map. I think the range is like 25 between us. I'm coming down range on direction C. So I'm kind of closing them at the beginning of the turn. So, yeah. That's a minor bug. If I hit Command A, which is basically select all, it wants to add a piece. I got to see if I can disable that and get rid of that. Because I don't think anyone uses that option. And this is Impulse 1, where basically the drones move all by their lonesome. Okay. It's going to continue to do that, and I'm going 4 times of speed, so. And switch that. If you see a tractor of the MRS, and then, of course, it hauls it closer, the idea is that, and Frank was very kind, very, very kind, to remind me of certain facts. For example, because the MRS is not being towed, it cannot lend any EW while it's being towed by the BCF, and and then Impulse 2, what I do is I do something kind of crazy, but because I'm using EM, I had to slow down my destroyers down to speed 10. Takes a lot of power. So they're going speed 10. I turn my cruisers direction D, going speed 16 on Impulse 2, so that I'm slowly approaching. Obviously, the one big issue with going that direction is there's a few drones, if you look down here, and all of them turn directly up. Right, and Impulse 3, I think it says? Impulse 3. Of this turn, he brought in the MRS shuttle and landed it. Now, honestly, my guess, the reason why he did that was to save it in the case, because we are slowly closing the distance, because I'm now heading directly for him. Now, this is still just has him. Yeah, he launched a couple drones, which have, of course, can launch a lot more drones, which is annoying to say at the very least. And then we have all of the drones that are on the board. Thank you very much. And just a reminder, the drugs can't launch, but then have to wait at least 4 impulses before they can actually launch the drugs. Again, Frank is being very kind about reminding me of that. This also, he has to stay at speed 12 while he's dragging these drogues, because if he's going any faster than speed 12, then he will death drag them. Which makes sense to me. And his drones keep getting close. Yeah. He had a minor issue with his drones because of one of the drones he forgot is an ECM drone, which is interesting to say the very least. Because of, I got to figure out a better way of doing that, you know. And that is, they're just like, it's labeled just like a regular drone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's known to be something other than a regular drone. It's an ECM drone. It's emitting ECM. So we know.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
Yeah, so there should be a better way of identifying that drone easily. I have to check to see if I can, might be able in this control, the game control, I might be able to show the loadout, in which case I could ask, in this case, Frank, to show the loadout of the drone. Cause we know it's a ECM, though at the same time, we don't know if it's ATG and whatever special things are also on it. So that makes it a little more difficult. That's one thing I actually started doing with this game. In this turn, which was, instead of clicking the next button, I actually entered the command called slash next, which would take us to the next impulse and do it that way. He's already got 9 on the map. He's got 24 channels. And of course, you got, well, you can have plenty of, he's got, okay. And then I finally added the range tracker to it. So we can see that between the CA number 1 and the NCL, which has three, that is the same as a, that's a kind of, it's a minor stack of 3 ships, all are range 21. And FFS is range 23, so that's the scout. So it's a little farther distance at this moment in time. And Frank's asking me about the phaser thingy, which I got the email about. I'm not sure.
So, Paul, quick question.
Yes.
Because, I can't remember if, I don't know if it's one of the SFB products in paper or cardboard, rather. I think they actually have, do they have designated? Because I think that as soon as you activate an ECM drone, it's active on the board. So it's no, like, the other guy knows that you're using it right away because it's going, wait, wait, or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that there is, does the client have dedicated ECM drone counters?
No. The drones,
is there some way?
Yeah, in theory, there is a way. At the moment, as if people want to, they could actually add a stripe to the counter, so that it will, you know, you can see, okay, one of the counters with a stripe, that's an ECM drone. That could be a way of easily identifying. But yeah, the. Because as it is, I don't think there's a, when it comes to the SAB product itself, I don't think they have separate drones which are ECM drones. I mean, they actually have counters which are ECM drones. I don't think there are.
Well, couldn't you just make a numbering on it where you could use letters to be ECM?
Yeah.
That sounds like what he just said. That sounds like what is right. Because I think there's ECP plasma counters too. Because if he's, yes, he said he's got a BCF, that's a 2 type F plasma torpedo. So in theory, one of them could be an ECF, so, or ECP rather. So he might need a counter for that.
Mm-hmm. True. And we're to range 20 at the moment. Okay. Let me. And his drones are coming closer and closer, going dun dun. Dun 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 dun! I hear Jaws in my head.
Yeah. The inevitable doom.
Yes.
So,
has he actually launched any of his plasma, or is he keeping them in the tubes?
He has not launched any plasma yet. And the big thing here is just because we haven't gotten close enough. All he's got when it comes to plasma is he's got some plasma Fs, because these are fed the BCF, which has, I think, two launcher tubes, two plasma Fs. Yeah, two plasma apps and two drone ramps.
Yeah.
And then the four.
Do you know if he's got the saber weavers?
I do not know. Did the feds even get a saber refit?
I have no idea.
Yeah, pretty much. I think everyone in the Alpha Octant gets one and start in Y-180. So. If he has it, well, because you still have to pay for it when you launch it. So he can choose not to pay for the Sable upgrade. Mm-hmm. He'll still launch them at speed 32. But assuming he's paid the BPV for the Sable upgrade, then he could launch it at speed 40. So that might be something to bear in mind. Like, it's not going to give you much of a difference when it comes to a Plasma F, because mm-hmm. it's only like an extra fifth free movement, so to speak. But nonetheless, it might be something to consider if... you're thinking that he's going to wait till a certain range to launch it or bolt it or whatever. But mm-hmm. Carnate will be the same. Actually, bolt and Carnate will be the same. It's just a speaking torpedo.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, so he might try to surprise you if he does have the Sable.
Yeah. That would be interesting. Of course, a Sable with a Plasma F. It can hit you, and could definitely be a surprise if you're not already. Think speed 32 stuff flying at you, which is to me the biggest issue currently with the tournament, is that all basically you can start with every single drone that you have speed 32. Now obviously you have to pay for it in a BPV. I'm not saying that it's free, because that would be insane, but because of that, you know, it. That means that a lot of us are just it's we have this whole fighting at range game, which makes it harder for some of us, especially people like Ola Seltorians, which have they have drone defense. Basically, I this whole turn I use a heck of a lot of phasers to knock down all these freaking drones, and this is where we find out that on this impulse 14, that all of the type, these are all type 1 fast drones. So nothing special, no special drones at the moment. They're all heading for my destroyer number 2. So that, which was interesting by itself. And since they're all near the cruisers, they'll be flying right past the heavy cruisers. Basically, what I do is, and you'll see it a little bit later on, which is this upcoming impulse here, you will see that I will then go, okay, fine, bang, bang, bang. And I start shooting at them. They actually just have some good rolls. I was just checking real quick the impulse chart to make sure that it is okay. Right now the drones are now at, this is impulse number 15. Let me just do a quick pause here. Impulse 15. We got three of the drones are range 1. They're gonna be flying past my heavy cruisers, and the idea is to knock them out as they go flying past. Because they're heading towards my destroyer. Well, my destroyer is behind. My destroyers are fortunately actually behind me. So those cruisers can hit the drones before the drones get close enough to the destroyers. I fire some phaser 3s at it. And of course, because the heavy cruisers aren't doing erratic maneuvers, they actually can fire it with no shift. I only mention that now because of later on in the turn, I actually have to use my destroyer's phasers to fire at them, and I then have a +2 shift because of it's 4 ECM. because of EM. And number five, it's alive but bloody. Number four is dead. And I think I was fired at number six. No, okay. Five and six. Okay, this reminded my speed change within
inevitably. Did you say that you dropped EM to fire?
No. I have EM on my destroyers. And I kept the EM going because
I thought you had to.
No, I don't have to stop EM to fire. It just means that when I fire, I have a ECM shift.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, now Frank's thinking, hey, what in the world should I do? And FS Hilly sights up in direction. He's still going. Actually, he turned from direction E to direction F early on in the turn, and he's closing right now. We're at range 17, and we continue to close. And of course, we have all these wonderful, wonderful drones from the drogues starting to close in on us.
So you got some T-bombs ready?
Actually, I do have T-bombs on them. I just have not used them.
There you go.
Well, the biggest issue, of course, with using T-bombs is that if I'm going to use a T-bomb, I have to drop a shield, which most probably is going to be facing my opponent.
Or just drop it out the hatch when you turn away.
There are
more ways to do it than transporting it.
Right, so. Well, that also requires me to turn away.
Yeah. Okay, that's... just a question.
Yeah, well, understood. And to be honest, there aren't that many drones. You would want, actually, there was one stack that was actually, here it is right here, which is 5, 6, and 3. That they got a stack of three. If it's only like one or two drones, you only have so many T-bombs, and you don't want to waste them on a single drone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The question I have for you is, on the overall count of drones he could have, like drone spaces, how's that looking for you from what you've seen?
Well, he's fine because most of it, for this turn, I think most, if not all, of his drone launches were from the drogues, which means that they've used up their drones, but now they were brought back in, and they will be doing reloads on those, and that's not going to be from in their racks. And as I said, I don't remember seeing that he launched any drones from the ships. So for all I know, he's reloading the drone racks this turn. Because he's not using them. If he takes them offline, which he doesn't have to announce, that those drones, he could be reloading the drone racks with, I don't know, could be just regular drones. It could be specialty drones. I don't know exactly that. Oh, by the way, for those of you keeping track, i.e. Last week when Frank told me that basically Justin goofed. I might have said that 2 weeks ago. Justin goofed in that he thought there was no shift, and there was a shift for I think the BCF, because the MRS could not be lending ECCM to the BCF in the time period that he fired at me. So he had actually a plus one shift, and therefore 5 less damage to my shield number one. Now, I checked everything, and basically he just did 5 less damage on shield number one. So now the Shield number one, for I think DD number one, has actually a 6-box shield instead of a 1-box shield. So that is me killing things.
Yeah, I think you did mention that last week.
Yeah, I mentioned that. I just didn't. If I recall correctly, last week I mentioned that I wasn't sure if I did it from batteries or it was pre-allocated or what exactly it is. All I can say is I kept it, and so that instead of only having 5 boxes, I have 6 boxes. Because there was the possibility that I used reserve power to save the 1 box. Because there was 20 points and they would have dropped the shield completely, but it didn't because I had 1 point of reinforcement. Yeah, now at the Impulse 19, I've got the destroyers are now turned to direction E and they're running away or trying to extend the range anyway. And yeah, as lots of you have been watching, have been seeing, which is that I've been slow, the drones have been approaching, I've been slowly been phasing them down. To say the very least, the labs have been disappointing. Not that they haven't been able to find out what the drones are and what the targets are. It's been doing just great when it comes to that. The only thing that to me is disappointing is I've seen no specialty drones, nothing like stingrays or anything with additional armor, you know, nothing like that, you know, nothing to knock me off my game at all. Currently, there's been every single one of them has been a standard Type 1 fast, which
maybe just wanted to keep it simple,
right? Well, my guess is some of those drones are probably being held or not been used yet because of he wants to use them in a surprise scenario. Doesn't want to use up the specialty drones early on in the game. This makes sense. Now, obviously, when it comes to the drogues, that makes sense. Yeah.
Does he have to declare that he has those specialty stuff in stock or not?
No.
Ahead of time?
No.
Okay.
Commander's options, which are specialty drones.
How many drones are you looking in at any given time?
You mean on the board, or are you talking about specialty drones?
On the board. Him launching at you.
If he's launching from every single platform that he's got, it's around, let me think. It's around 12, I think. 12, yeah. Well, okay, it could be more. Because of obviously the thing is with the drogues, they can launch more than one drone per turn, versus the launchers can only launch one drone per turn.
Mm-hmm.
Which is basically what happened this turn, which is there was a lot of drones on the board from the drogues. I eliminated the ones that were from the I think 6 of them, which were launched from the ships. Now, one thing that definitely happens later on, we're already on the Impulse 32, Impulse 21 at the moment in time for those who are just watching. Later on, very soon, he has a scatter pack which will go poof, blossom, and we have another 6 more drones on the board.
Yay.
Now, obviously, the great thing about that is that since they're from scatter packs, it's more difficult unless they're center lined to the ship that they're gonna be launching all other ordnance at. It's hard to separate those drones. They usually you can possibly do two separate groups, but invariably when they get closer and closer, they get down to a single group. And possibly you can finagle them a little bit. But the great thing about that is that for the scatter packs, since they're a group of drones, you can actually use a T-bomb against them, and that's actually effective use of a T-bomb in that case. Yay. Yeah.
Okay.
These mostly, I'm not sure you guys have been watching, you'll see right now, okay, this is Impulse 22. He launched a drone from the drone drogue. Also, one thing that happens at the very end of the turn is all the drogues go back into the ships, which means now he's probably working on reloading them starting with next turn. Because I forget how long you have to wait for it before the...
How hard are those things to kill?
I don't know. That was one thing I did not look. I did not look to see. Because obviously the drogues are considered, I think, like shuttles in that regard. Which means I could have seen them. I could have seen how many things it takes to actually kill them. My guess is not much. But at the same time, their range 15, 16, you know, because they are being hauled by their respective ships.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, droid number one.
He's not letting them get close enough for you to pick them off easily.
No. No. Because, you know, was it two reasons he probably brought the drones back in. One, they're now have no drones left in them. That's number one. And number two, wants to save them so he can now he's probably brought them back in, probably going to start reloading them. And then right, use them in another two turns, I would think, at earliest. Because I'd have to really look to see how many deck crews it takes to load a drone. I thought it was how many deck crew actions it takes to load a drone, a one space drone. I think it takes like one deck crew action, which is 16 impulses. Yeah. One deck crew action is 16 impulses. But I'd have to double check on the cost when it comes to deck crew action. Now, this is one thing that he does, which is freaking annoying, which is with the beautiful scout when, you know, we don't like you. So he lends two point of offensive EW on my two heavy cruisers. And then he does after one, you know, first impulse he does it, then later on he then begins to loan even more. So there's an additional 3 points of ECM against them. So negative ECCM, which is fun. So as lending. Now the question is he going to continue that on to next turn? We'll have to wait and see.
Okay.
I said, did I change it here? No, I didn't. I don't think I remember. Yeah, I don't think I remember to change it. Because I'd have to click on the EW button and actually have it as a negative loaned. Because that's one thing. I totally forgot that as part of the client, I actually have the ability of taking I have separate EW. We have one EW, which is regular EW, which is produced by the ship. Then we have loaned EW. The whole idea is you can track any loaned EW that you're loaned from, like a scout, and you keep that track in a separate field. And then it will actually, the clan will actually total those two up. Which is always fun. Right. Then we have the FSS and NCL both pull the drugs back on board, which is like, thank you very much, guys, for launching all those wonderful drones. And they're coming closer and closer.
Hey, it could be a Kazini, you know. That could make it a bit.
Agreed. And as I mentioned, the crazy thing about this whole tournament is that only 50% of the people took scouts.
Right.
And 50% of people did not take scouts. Obviously, me and Jason, who I fought in round one, we didn't take scouts. Of course, he also had 20 prox photons, so.
Yeah, that part kind of hurt.
That kind of hurt. Yeah. Pretty bad. Yikes. It was so much EW. So, and this is, oh yeah, this is me firing some more at some drones because I have drones and coming in here. Also, because of my ECM, one thing that can happen, that actually did happen for the destroyers, just to let you know, is that one of the drones hit, but because I have ECM, it rolled the dice because there's a possibility of partial impact, and it rolled poorly, a six. So it actually was only 50% hit. So instead of getting 12 points of damage, it only got 6 points of damage. So for those of you, just a reminder, and that is that EW does affect the seeking weapons when they hit you. Now, obviously, the one thing that you have to worry about when it comes to plasma is plasma, I think, has automatic ECM. Oh, sorry, ECCM. So.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, this is one of those things that I forgot. It was an Impulse 26. I was turning the destroyers, which have a turn mode of 4 at speed 16. Problem? I'm using EM. EM adds a +1 to the turn mode. And Frank also, again, was very gracious. And he reminded me, hey, you know, you can't turn. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, I can't turn. Thank you. Oh, and then later on, I tried to ID 2 of the drones, and I rolled 2 and the 1s, I think, very much. So I completely missed. Oh, here it is. An Impulse 26. The BCF had launched a scatter pack, and it popped. And there's beautiful 5 drones from the scatter pack, which makes things interesting because the question is, are they all type 1s? Or do you have 4 type 1s and a type 4? Which makes things always interesting. And of course, we have all these annoying drones closing in on me even closer. I actually like that. Wait, no, it's that. Wait, you know, I was going to continue on that. I forgot. Oh, wait a minute. I actually have to fire on these drones so they don't hit my ship. Or at least I can at least.
But if your ship explodes, it'll take out all those drones, right?
What's that?
So if your ship explodes, it'll take out all those drones, right?
That's true. Mm-hmm. But the object is not to have my ship go boom. And then the BCF tracks the scatter pack and hauls it in. So
okay.
There it is, and they're firing it. Yeah, Scott Peck can only speed 12, so he couldn't death drag it. This is me firing. And of course, this is with a plus one shift. Fortunately, I was close enough, I think.
His scatter pack was going speed 12.
No,
Is that what you just?
the scatter pack, I think, was going speed 6, but it's not death drag because of the ship's only going speed 12, so it's not greater than
Okay.
20, twice the speed, max speed of the shuttle.
Right, gotcha. Okay.
Eric the Silent came in and said, "Hey, wait a minute, doesn't that death drag?" It's like, no, it doesn't. And again, we're down to range 11. The scout actually is range 12, so it's not that big difference when it comes to that. So the question comes to being is, next turn, will I decide to actually maybe beat up on the poor defenseless scout? Depends. My guess is it's going to be so much full ECM, it's going to be ridiculous. Though at the same time, here's the issue, and that is his photon torpedoes will be ready going on next turn. So the question is, given that I've been closing this whole turn, and even, well, actually, okay, sorry. When he started charging his photons, I'm pretty sure. Remind me, Doug, if you know this, does a person have to indicate if it's going to be a prox photon when he starts charging the first turn
No.
of charging? Okay. It's
Only
not,
on the second turn.
it's only when it completes it. So, yeah.
Yeah,
So the
on
question
completion.
then means, okay.
And you could change it later on, like on a subsequent turn,
I don't think
I
so.
believe.
I believe
I maybe
that
he can't.
actually making a prox photon, you have to basically discharge it to change the photon.
Okay. I could be wrong, but I know that on the second turn is when you decide what it's going to be.
Right.
The only way you're locked into something is if you start overloading it on the first turn as well. So if he put like a bunch of points into overload, he's stuck with an overload unless he discharges it.
Right, prox.
If he basically does a 2-point charge on it, it could be anything on the second turn. He could
Right.
overload it, he could make it a prox, he could make it a standard. And he's in what, your range 11 bracket roughly right now, you said? Who knows? My crystal ball says fuzzy.
Okay, so actually, you're right. It can be changed during EA.
Ooh, say that again.
You
Say
were
it again.
right.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you,
I
thank you.
know it's, you rarely get to hear that phrase.
I wouldn't say that. Yeah, rarely here. Yeah. You're right. You are
But
correct.
yeah, and it's
This is
on
like
the.
the male affirmation moment. Ah.
Well, enjoy it while it lasts. It won't last long.
I'm okay with it. I
Now,
got my
this is
fix
the
for the week.
okay. This is the one thing which I don't know why he did this. And
What's that?
I'm pausing just for a moment, and I'm running late tonight. And I'll not have to talk. I can't talk with you afterwards. I'm just gonna have to log out.
What is the question?
And that is on Impulse 31, the NCL tractors the BCF. The Scout tractors the DDL. So basically, what he did was that he slowed down his ships.
By combining their speeds on tractoring.
Right. But it's speed, but it's
What are the
Impulse
size blocks
31.
involved?
So they still move. Now, There is one benefit, which I find out a little bit later on Impulse 32, which is what happens is that since they're both be going the same direction, as long as their tractor starting with the next turn, his ships actually move on the first impulse.
Really?
Which is insane. But yeah, because of it's the whole it's that really quirky rule with the tractors that if both ships are going to be going the same impulse, same direction, and they both move for that impulse, that turn, that movement is delayed. See, he announced.
You know what? That just sounds wrong. I think they should probably change that.
Yeah. So what happened is that NCL and the frigates move forward on impulse 4.1 because it's the delayed move.
You're sure they don't just combine to a specific movement instead?
No, since it's going to be since the number of hexes that are going to be changed are two hexes, not a single hex, from the original location of on the map, it's a delayed movement.
Okay, and how far will that put them from you?
That will. Right now we're at range 8, at the it's range 8. Yeah, this is range 8 on impulse 32. And we have range 9 of the scout. So
yeah, I think you're probably going to be putting some overloads into you.
That's a possibility. Of course, that means he's probably going to be slowing down quite a bit.
You know what else he could potentially do?
That whole like turn break thing sounds like the kind of thing you should post about like as an Q&A on the BBS. Because I mean, that does sound like the kind of thing that I don't know.
It does work that way.
Game intent, because like it's one thing. Okay.
Yeah, because that's just weird. But the other thing he could do that might mess your day up a little more is he could maybe tractor rotate out. Like, push a ship closer to you.
That is true.
Unless size class is smaller, which he can't do it then.
Right.
What are the size classes involved? He's got the BCH, that's cruiser.
Right, so size class.
What's the daisy chain look like?
Okay, we got NCL and the BCF, both of them are basically size class 3. Then we have the DDL and the FFH, SHS, which are, I'm pretty sure, size class 4s.
Okay.
And they're both tied together, meaning the size class 4s are tractoring each other. The size class 3s are tractoring each other.
Okay. Are any of the ships that are doing the tractoring tractored as well?
No.
Okay.
Da-da, da-da.
Fine. So, yeah, if they're the same size classes, one could push the other one forward. Theoretically.
Yep.
The tractor rotation phase. Or one hex away from them further. Or one hex around them, I believe. So, a little something extra to consider.
Examples of delayed movements.
He really doesn't need to get any closer unless he wants to go. Really, he's going to, if he wants to try and change the range bracket, he's going to have to get to what?
Yeah, here's okay. Rule number. Yeah. Part number 3 of rule number not G7.36. 3. As a result of each ship moves two hexes, the larger ship by size class, then by movement cost at the same size class, conducts the movement first, then the other ship moves on the next impulse. Right? Toying toss if they're the same. Right. If this occurs, here's the rule explicitly. If this occurs only on impulse 32 and the second move ship takes place on impulse 1 of the second turn, unless it takes place on impulse number 1 of the subsequent turn, unless the link is not maintained. ships cannot move more than one hex per impulse. So, in this case, a large ship moves both ships on the current impulse, and the second hex movement, possibly caused by, in this case, a fed destroyer, is conducted on the next impulse. So, it's explicit here that, yeah, if it goes on to the next turn, it moves, and they're still linked, it gets to move on impulse. Both ships basically are going to be dragged forward on impulse one.
But he's also going to be doing it at range 8 to range 7 on you.
Right.
So he's not really changing but a range.
You just said that right the...
What's that?
You were just saying that it goes by size class and then by turn mode, and then by move cost? Because
yes.
I'm pretty sure that the BCF has move cost 1, and then the MCL is move cost 2/3.
Mm-hmm.
And also, is it a? You said it's a frigate scout as a destroyer?
Yes.
So, I guess.
And that's what
it sounds like. The if the destroyer and the cruiser would move first, and then the smaller ships would move second.
Yep, which is what he has listed. He said the NCL and the frigate move forward on 4.1.
And does he have to tell you where they're going to move?
Well, they have to move forward, straight ahead.
I'm just saying.
Well, they have to, just because. By definition,
by the rule
yeah, that if he's going to move, you know, that whatever he's going to move, that impulse, he has, that's what he moves forward doing, goes on to the next impulse to do. Right, and this, right there, and it just, and that we end the turn. With us ending at range 8 and range 9 of each other. So it should be interesting to see what happens.
Well, he's probably going to put that ship to range. That's at range 9 to range 8 and fill you full of some overloads if he can.
That's a possibility.
You can't do proxies at range 8.
No, he cannot.
So there's a comforting thought, I guess.
Yep. Very comforting thought.
A tiny bit of less uncertainty.
True. And the thing is, currently, the destroyers are actually out at range, like... Gotta check. I think they're, like, range 12.
Okay.
So... Should be interesting. Should be interesting game. We're not gonna play tomorrow night, and we're not gonna play this weekend because I have no time this weekend because I'm actually supposed to get together with Barry on Saturday night. So he's gonna be coming here to my house to do some play. So today, at the very least, it's gonna be Saturday's gonna be a freaking just crazy day for me. So anyhow. Had a nice chat talking with y'all.
Okay.
And Gary, it's great to have you around. Obviously, as I emailed you, you know, going forward, if you want to log in, you're gonna have to figure out, you have to be using like Discord. You know, after.
So when's the last talk to week then?
July 31st.
Really quick, if anyone's listening to this and they recall your brief conversation last week, if they want to go to the BBS and join the Omega campaign compatible project, I do have a list of different ships for the Miseron Alliance in terms of trying to basically get them up to campaign status. So I strongly advise anyone who's finds it even remotely interesting to swing by. I don't know if Barry would like to check it out. To pop by, read the list, ask any questions, you know, be part of the conversation. And because hopefully this will be like the first of several such products that will allow people to actually engage with this region of the universe, which I should point out has no drones, has no probes, and no scatter. Sounds great already, isn't it?
Yeah, agreed.
So you'll basically So if you'd like to say goodbye to drones for a while, then feel free to pop over to that part of the galaxy and see what you think.
Okay, we'll do. We'll do. Anyway, Gary, you have a good night.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Doug, it's always wonderful having you around. Is there anything you want to tell us about?
Yes, Gamers of Summer, Labor Day weekend coming up. Hopefully we'll have some SFP fun there of some kind.
Yep.
I don't know what kind, but some kind.
Yeah, but nice to have a schedule for that.
Yeah, it would be nice to have a schedule for that. Thank you for reminding me of that, Paul. Schedule, please. Anybody who's listening, if you're on a any Facebook group or anything like that, feel free to share the event on there. And, you know, South Central Pennsylvania, Harrisburg, PA, Red Lion Hotel, 17111 is the zip code. It's easy to get to from pretty much almost anywhere on the East Coast. So there you go.
Yep. Okay. Well,
look forward to seeing some of y'all there.
Understood. Doug, you have a good night.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on, Paul.
Yep. So, wonderful time talking about both the beautiful animation that Matt Potter has created. You know, it's nice to see people in the community creating that, doing creative things when it comes to the SFB community. And, you know, hopefully we can possibly use that in the future. And obviously there's my game, which, as you saw, it was a game of watching drones close, me knock them down, them hitting my ships every once in a while, and then continue on forward to try to obliterate me. Hopefully we'll, as is, I'm sorry, Eric the Silent, that he was disappointed. He was hoping to see some action. It's like, well, sorry. It's 10 o'clock at night. I got to get to bed, you know, so sorry. But hopefully we'll be able to continue that forward. Definitely next week sometime. Just got to figure out what would be a good time for me and a good time for Frank. Actually, Frank's retired, so it makes things a little bit easier for us getting together. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.